You're listening to the Awesome-O Podcast, Episode 1, Catching Up with Yoda Cow.
I'm here with the Yoda Cow, one of the top rated grinders. How are you doing today, man?
Pretty good. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's good to see you. I think the last time I saw you was at one of those live finals. I always notice you like bring your whole posse with you, like your whole family and everything. It's like you're not the only cow there.
Oh no, there's not. I tend to fly out a bunch of family and their friends. A lot of times, my own friends can't even go because they'd be busy working. Like the live finals usually go from like Thursday to like into Monday. So generally, people aren't even that free, and then you know, parents always want to tag along and all that. So
wait, so you're telling me that you're calling up your buddies, it's like, yo, you want to go to Miami for the weekend, and they're like, no.
Yeah, it's tough, like you know, it's. But at this point, there's like people you sort of come across at all the live final events anyway. You sort of show up on your own too, and there's sort of no shortage of people you could like talk to, hang out with.
Definitely. I mean, I think that actually says a lot about you because these sites, they offer you money, like to take extra trip packages. You can just cash them in for 60%. Most of that, you're like bringing all your friends and family out. Like what makes you decide to do that like every time?
Well, it's not like I'm cashing out all my seats every time either. So, it's not like I'm qualifying like a bunch of times. I don't really like to go too hard, like in terms of chasing the seats. So it's sort of whatever seats I sort of end up with is what I go with.
That's really surprising to me because I saw you already qualified like 3 times for FanDuel. They've only run like 30 qualifiers. So, I mean, you're already like killing it there.
I think I just ran good with whatever single entries I was putting them in because, you know, if you're playing like the 1.5 or the 1K there, you're only playing against 20 people, I think, 20 entries.
Yeah, but I mean, that's still at best like a 1 in 20 chance to win, and you already won 3 times, so there must be something you're doing here that you're killing it.
Yeah, generally for those, I'll just put sort of, I don't know about how you build lineups, but like, there'll be one that you sort of target for like, you know, like the higher stake GPPs versus one that you put in, you know, the $30.
Right, because the ownership is much more like concentrated, right? Like with these top players, like the other night, I think it was Jordan Bell and he got like 0. So if you don't have him.
It's yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, if you entered a qualifier, like, would you fade one of those cheap guys that's supposed to do really well? Or do you, like, use the same strategy as a qualifier in other tournaments?
Strategy for a given day, it's always kind of just depends on the general mood and what you think is going to happen versus what you think the chalk is. So, generally for that, you just, I guess your strongest one that isn't, I'll just put the strongest lineup I would think that isn't, like, super chalk. And that's pretty much like the logic for it. If you're trying to win like a small like 10 or 20 man field, that's probably the way I would do it. And I guess I did well for the qualifier so far on FanDuel.
Yeah, congratulations. That's why you got one on DraftKings too. So you've been you're gonna make your presence felt. It sounds like come live final season here.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's a 1 day thing anyway, so it's not.
It's true, man. So I'm gonna cut to the chase here. I'm gonna get to the question. All of our viewers want to know. You probably get this question like a zillion times on RotoGrinders PMs. All right. What is your secret?
What is the secret? It's a tough one. Like, I can't, it's hard to say, like, there's anything to even divulge. It's just sort of common sense or what I would consider common sense and applying that. A little bit of, like, my own instincts in terms of accounting for other stuff, but, you know, it's just, at this point, there's so much information out there. It's not the most complicated field. It's just, I don't know, it kind of comes pretty easy.
So what you're saying is you just saw you got all the common sense down and nobody else does.
I guess maybe some people aren't paying attention to the right stats or looking at stuff that isn't as important as what they should be looking at. But it does seem DFS, there's a lot of like sort of short-sightedness, a lot of results oriented behavior, especially in the short run. So that's constant. That's pretty much what we're always thinking about and what we're always like trying to capitalize on, just sentiment versus like reality and just trying to arbitrage those two things.
That's interesting that you mentioned arbitrage, because I saw your LinkedIn. You're one of the few, I think, on who's like a professional DFS player to have LinkedIn. Like your company, like Bourne's LLC, right?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. That was sort of founded as a way to sort of organize like the gameplay when I was working full time, and so you know there was like certain tax benefits to having an LLC in New York while you were working like a full time job. So I sort of kept that going, and I just sort of run a lot of, you know, my DFS through the LLC and then some of it personally.
That's definitely very interesting. So you said you were working full time in New York City and like doing DFS and making a ton of money. I'm sure that's what everyone would love to do. So what is your background in like other than DFS here?
I had a handful of backgrounds, I guess. I was in science before, so I did pre-med in college, pre-med in econ. I was planning on doing med school, actually, but I ended up going into, like, financial tech. And it was, like, at this startup companies doing a lot of research on individuals, a little bit of quantitative stuff, too. But I was, you know, it's not like I just happened across fantasy sports. I was always playing fantasy sports. So, you know, it was always been a hobby. And, frankly, if DFS was an industry, I'd probably be just focusing harder on, like, you know, some NBA season-long leagues right now.
So do you have a season-long league?
I don't at this point, but up until, like, 2 years ago, I probably had been playing, like, 3 or 4 leagues every year.
Okay, so you kind of were doing your business thing, like you said, it was some science, too. And then you'd been playing, like, fantasy sports, like, season-long, you know, for a long time. And then when Daily Fantasy came out, you kind of jumped onto that.
Yeah, I think I got into it from basically, you know, like late afternoons in the office, just digging around. You're not going to do anything anyway after, you know, after 3 p.m. rolls around, your mind's already out the door. So I was actually able to pretty much grind like full time while working full time, because the afternoons would be free. And then that's right when the news would start coming in anyway, you know, so like, I don't know, like, how your schedule is, but I don't even really look at it until around, say, 2 or 3 in the afternoon. So, you know, it actually worked well with that particular full-time job.
That's awesome, man. So you're telling me that you, like, you just start working at 2 p.m. every day or 3 p.m., go till 7, right? Or are you working all night, too?
That kind of depends on personal schedule. Like, if I had made plans, I'll set it and like go do something else. But if I'm gonna be in anyway, I'm probably just gonna watch all the games.
Oh, nice, man. So you're sweating your lineups.
Yeah,
I totally know what you mean, because I've been like trying to get out more like these days, but then you gotta like worry about like 8 p.m. lock or 9 p.m. lock, and then if you have plans for the rest of the night, you gotta kind of create your game schedule around that. So do you like
sneak your You make your plans for the night around your game schedule.
Well, no, I tried to do the opposite. Like, I'm, like, trying to go out, and then I'll, like, decide, well, maybe I'm not going to play head-to-heads at 9 p.m. because there's some late scratch. I'm not going to be on my computer when everyone else is. Like, do you do that at all?
Well, just imagine it's even harder for me than it is for you because I'm an hour later. But trying to do this, and I'm just saying, no, I can't until 10.
Yeah, so, like, how does that fly with your friends? Like, do they mind that you're not able to show up until pretty late? Or?
Thankfully, New York probably runs 2 or 3 hours later than most cities anyway. People probably get out of work around 7 or 8, so that kind of works up, or, you know, lines up with, you know, being able to meet or get drinks or something.
It's pretty rad. So, like, you're getting out of work the same time as everyone else, so, like, even though it's, like, 7 p.m.,
exactly. I just don't have to wake up at 7 a.m.
That's the dream, man. That's why everyone's listening, because they want to get up at like 1 p.m., like go do DFS and then like party all night. Like, is that like kind of how you roll?
From time to time. I'm not the most savage individual out there, especially in terms of the DFS crowd. But, you know, I like a good time from here and there.
Definitely. So I gotta get some advice from you, man, because I've been, like, trying to go really hard on dating. Like, I've been meeting a lot of girls online dating. And I'm always, like, struggling to, like, explain DFS in a way that's, like, really compelling. Well, how do you do that?
Usually doesn't really... For me, I don't know, like, I don't really try to talk about it on like first or second dates. I don't know. It doesn't really, for one thing, like from a girl's perspective, I feel like, you know, it could seem like a pretty degenerate, like, whole, I don't know if it really reflects well upon a guy, like if you do that for a living. So at the same time, I feel like they kind of have to understand like how you operate like as a person before you even like drop that. But I always explain it as kind of like trading or investing, but with athletes rather than companies. And then it's like, then it makes sense because like, oh, these guys are undervalued, but they might be in a good position to do well. Like people can think of it like that.
So you're explaining it in kind of a New York like business perspective. Is that your approach?
Yeah. Or just like, you kind of just have to explain it like just really as a game. Unless they understand fantasy sports or sports, you just kind of have to be really simple with it. At least in a dating world, like if you go to a, like a sports bar and you start talking with the guys, like you're gonna find like 10 friends in 10 minutes, you know?
You mean they're all wanting to know who you're on that night?
Well, just enjoy it. Like they'll just like chop it up with you about sports, and he did. But I guess with women, you just can't drop all like these stats on them.
Yeah, I had a crazy experience, man. Like, all right, so I met up with this girl, and she was like an entrepreneur. I was like, man, this girl is really gonna connect to like my fantasy sports because like I'm an entrepreneur too. And like, she was like talking about a company, and she's like, oh, what do you do? I was like, oh, I run a business that deals with like fantasy sports and like predicting the outcomes of games. And all of a sudden, like, she got this phone call from her friend, and she was like out the door.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I got.
You said everything was going well, and then you said you run a business about fantasy sports, and it ended.
Yeah, that was the end of the day. So, like, I definitely, if anyone out there is like trying to is like a DFS pro and trying to meet some ladies, like don't say that.
Hey, say something like you run a trading desk, you know, or you know, like a fund.
Right.
I think that'll fly better.
Yeah, definitely. So, I know you've been out to like a zillion live finals. So have you met most of the other pros by this point?
Yeah, I have. You know, you just go to these things. It's like between the two sites, you're probably going to like 4 to 6 events every year. So it turns into like a seasonal thing. You end up seeing like the same faces every 2 or 3 months. So I'm right on the street here. Actually, just moved into like this apartment about a month ago, so it's totally different neighborhood, but I'm sort of in the more loud part of New York City now, here in the Lower East Side.
Oh yeah, dude, so is that a pretty awesome place to live?
It was a big change of scenery from before, but I kind of prefer, like, there's more bars and nightlife around, and sort of just walk around for 10 minutes either way and find a bunch of stuff to do. Versus, you know, I was living uptown, you'd have to just sort of travel down here to do anything anyway, so now you're sort of in it.
So you kind of move closer to like where your scene is.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, so seems like 2017 was a big year where they really tried to kind of introduce some new game types like Pick'em, like arcade mode. Like FanDuel has Starting Five, and now there's like FanDuel Labs. Like, what's your take on all of that?
Well, that's fun, you know, anything that can work out like in a slightly different game type. I get it for the sites too, where they can introduce something a little more simpler, something conducive to, like, you know, sitting on the train and putting a quick lineup and you don't really have to read an article. You know, anything that's different would always be helpful to both the sites and the DFS environment in general.
Absolutely. So I think a lot of people are like hesitant to join like Pick'em. They think it's some like random like crapshoot or something. Like, do you find your edge in Pick'em or like arcade mode is as good as other formats, or is it about the same or lower?
I haven't really paid attention, to be honest. I figure it's about the same. Yeah, like it's just a different way of playing it, right? And there's probably, I guess in Pick'em you would have different strategies too in terms of how you would select lineups. Maybe I don't consider them as much since I'll just focus on the main slate more. Are you a big Pick'em guy?
Yes, I love Pick'em, man. Like, One of my proudest moments was in the Pick'em DraftKings Championship. Like, I made it to the final, so that was a big for me.
I remember that. I remember almost missing that lineup because of a lot. So like main slate stuff, like getting close to 1 p.m. I was like, oh man, I forgot to do this Pick'em finals. I was about to run like a train in there.
So like, is what you're saying that people should play Pick'em because the Yoda Kyles of the world aren't really paying that much attention?
Yeah, I guess. That was like the qualifier. It was like you had to qualify to get to the championship.
Yeah, it was like a two-tier system that they're doing, yeah. What do you think?
It's close to running the three same lineups in the qualifier to the championship and kind of got it in the last 2 minutes.
Nice, man. So how did your NFL season end up going? Was it good?
I think it was just pretty fair. It was hard to overcome the Chipotle this NFL. So I think he had a pretty strong season. So for me personally, it was just okay.
Okay, yeah, definitely. He seemed to be at the top of the leaderboards every week. I mean, I saw you up there. I guess we each have our own season, like, to ourselves. What was your best season so far?
My best season so far was probably the last MLB season, which is sort of random for me since I had picked up MLB just the year before that. But I guess it all clicked all at once or, you know, for a few months at a time. So that ended up being my best season.
I remember that, man. I saw you like in the heavy hitter every day in the Thunderdome, like taking that down, like it's like basically like being a legend, like for the whole year.
Yeah, like added up, I pretty much ran super good when the high stakes, like the really high stakes stuff, were going on over the summer. So you know, just good time to get hot, I guess.
So let me ask you a question, man. Like I know. Like, I've had success at DFS, and, like, I made, like, a good amount of money, but I haven't really, like, changed my lifestyle that much. Like, how's it for you, man? Like, when you have a good season like that, do you end up, like, spending the money, or you just keep reinvesting in DFS, or how do you do it?
Well, you can only, like, reinvest so much in DFS, too, right? Because it's just, like, whatever, you know, prize pool is out there. So I don't think I really changed anything. You guess at a certain point, you care about, like, your expenses less. Because like your day-to-day stuff, like you're not worried about like your, you know, your dinner or your drink plans. But like beyond that, I don't think nothing's really changed. I moved into a new apartment. That's about it. We're in New York, so you don't even really need a car or anything. So yeah, pretty much doing the same thing as I was doing like 4 years ago.
That's awesome, man. I mean, it seems like you're living it up. You're like this baller, like. So if it's not like does the money motivate you to keep playing, or is this something else?
Probably just the casual interest. It's still a hobby to me. So again, like it'd be something I'd be doing regardless, pretty much. And unless I really know, like, or I'm committed to like doing something else or starting something new, I think I'll just keep playing for the near future.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I mean, you're successful. Why like stop? But it sounds like you might have some other plans. Like, what are your plans after DFS?
Yeah, again, like I don't really know. It really just depends on really finding something else that I'm like as passionate about as DFS. I'm sure it'll come along, but until then, I'm still just gonna, you know, keep grinding here. It's, you know, you can't really complain about the lifestyle.
Definitely. So do you think that DFS will keep heading in like a steady direction, or where do you see like the future like going for it?
Well, it's hard to say really, but I think it's sort of, you know, we had like that crazy growth period and then it sort of plateaued and then we had all the bad press. So I think it's kind of stagnated since then. I don't have really a glass ball to project sort of where I can see it all going, but ideally, you know, we would pick up more interests with fans, like there's a lot of sports out there where fans are being more aware of fantasy. It's becoming a more regular topic, just casual season-long fantasy. If we can just get like a small fraction of those guys to get aboard the DFS bandwagon, you know, there's still a ton of factors to even allow for that to happen, but I'm sure there's paths that can get people and generate further interest. Other than that, I think you might see there's a bunch of smaller up and coming sites trying to like break through. And there's also like the sports betting and the politics, where you might see legalization of that, and that might throw a whole nother wrench into the DFS industry.
Definitely. I mean, I think you raised some great issues here. So, like, regarding the new sites, like, have you signed up for any recently that you think are cool, or do you mostly focus on FanDuel and DraftKings?
Right now I'm just focused on FanDuel and DraftKings. It's already enough on my plate.
So just in case, like, there's some, like, business, like, person listening, what would it take for you to start playing on their site?
I don't know. If I can't really get enough action, it's sort of hard for me to put in the extra work, especially, you know, given that there's always a certain time crunch close to, say, past 6 p.m. or 6:30, where you can only do a handful of things. And let's say if I wanted to add another site, it might at that point take away like what I do from the main two.
I definitely know what you mean, because I'm playing on like three sites usually, maybe more for NFL. And a lot of times, so right before lock, there's some scratch, and I'm like, oh shit, I can't like change it on this site. There's probably all these people like trying to scoop my action at that point. But
yeah, so unless you just have a team of people working for you, you just can't do it.
Yeah. Oh, so you don't have that team? I mean, maybe I can't divulge whether I have my team of employees or not, but.
Yeah, it's just me, so yeah, it's kind of, you know, you can only do a couple of things at once.
Have you heard of a site called Playline that's trying to enter the DFS space?
I think I've heard of it. Is it more of a web, just a mobile-based?
It's actually, like, their idea is you predict the stat line instead of, like, picking a team. Like, how do you feel about a format like that?
That's pretty interesting, but it's, yeah, it sounds like it would just be, it sounds like a very casual fan activity, you know, like, you know, when you're among your friends at a bar and yeah, he's going to go for 40 and 20, like that sort of just like lets you have that conversation into a DFS game.
Definitely. I mean, if your friend is saying he's going to go for 40, 20, man, like that'd be the person you'd want to play, right?
I know, unless he's Anthony Davis.
So if you had to project Anthony Davis on that, would he be picking like 40 and 20, or would he try to go like under the field?
40, 20, no assists.
Yeah, I mean, getting 40 points is probably anti-correlated with assists anyway. So one of the big topics I was hearing a lot of buzz about at the live final recently is that the sports betting Supreme Court case. So if sports betting was legal, like, would that be something you'd be interested in getting into? Like, do you think you could have an edge and make a living doing it, like DFS, or do you think it'd be too hard?
I think you would see sort of like a mini boom, in terms of profitability, sort of in the early days. It's kind of like DFS in, say, like 2014, 15. And I would anticipate it, I guess, it's sort of like anything, like even like crypto recently. It'll spike, casual people get into it, and there's always a perfect time if you want to time it to join certain industries, right? So, you know, there would be a spike in sort of profitability. I think a lot of us DFS guys would probably move into that space for a while. We're all speaking the hypotheticals here, but yeah, we'd probably, at least I can say with some confidence that, you know, probably do pretty well in the start, and then over time it'll probably, similar to other markets or even the DFS market, just become more efficient. Might see some casual interests like go out after you know, lose your first like $1,000, you kind of have a sour taste. But yeah, I mean, also at the same time, it's such a bigger industry. If you see how the markets operate in Europe, there's just so much casual interest that it can sort of always, it can be like a larger industry than DFS and kind of sustain itself more easier too.
Definitely, because it's much easier to just pick one side or the other than to build a roster of like 9 or 10 players, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I have pretty high hopes on it, but it would be sort of something that I hadn't done before, and we would just try to pick it up.
Nice. So I know there's a lot of people out there listening to us that maybe they're playing DFS, making some money, like, and they really don't like their job. What kind of advice would you have to that person right now?
Well, I would say, you know, just it's always like some cookie cutter advice, but I guess like you just have to. It's sort of like the same as any other industry where you just have to work hard, put a lot of the work in, kind of study your own process at the same time, like look at what other people are doing and not just like focus on stuff that might have happened, but just always try to stay focused on, stay even keeled and just stay focused on your process.
So you're pretty optimistic about their chances then. You're not telling them, well, no, I'm winning everything and you can't beat me, so like, you shouldn't even try.
More than beatable. You just, you know, I don't think the game is totally figured out by any particular player. So I'm sure there's someone out there, you know, sharper than me, but just probably got in a little later.
Definitely. So who are the guys in each sport that people would want to look at and see like how they do it?
I mean, it's always the same. It's, you know, I think the Roto Grinder rankings are a pretty good indicator, like, of people and not like what they do within those sports. So I know a lot of it is also like sort of volume driven, but at the same time, a lot of the guys that are able to sustain that kind of volume are probably not doing poorly. So, you know, it's always the same list of individuals doing well.
Definitely. I've seen you on top for a while. I've been up there a little while. So I definitely agree. Roto Grinders rankings are like the best way of evaluating talent, you know.
Yeah, congrats on taking the spot, the number one.
Thanks, man. Well, it's like a tough competition. So it's an honor, you know, like battling it out with you and Chipotle Addict and Papa Gates like every single day. Are you motivated by the rankings at all? Does that affect the way you play?
Not too much, because there's certain sports that I just don't really plan on getting into. And I think, at least for the rankings, if you really want to be up there, you kind of have to be really motivated to do it and grind a lot of the, like, sort of all the sports. So for now, I'm not, like, I'll play as much as I can, but just for the sports that I do.
So you're saying if esports was, like, the next big thing, you probably wouldn't even, like, bother doing it?
I didn't say anything about esports, so I don't know.
Would that be something you're interested in, or is that one of the sports that's off limits?
I think I could get into esports.
Okay. Do you play any esports yourself?
I don't, but I feel like it's different, and I guess interesting enough that if it was big, that I would do it.
All right, so what sport do you feel like is the biggest edge, and what sport is like the lowest edge?
It sort of varies upon season to season. Even me, for someone who's played, I guess, 4 years now, I can't even say which sport has the largest edge. And I think these things are also changing a lot of the time, too.
I definitely noticed that. Like, they changed, like, the pricing algorithms and stuff. Have you found the pricing getting more sharp? Do you think that would affect the edge at all?
Not so much as the pricing getting sharp, but just, like, people just overestimate variance. And you might have a down year in a certain sport or an outlier, a positive year in that sport, but it doesn't necessarily mean that's your lowest or highest edge. So I'm still trying to figure that out myself.
I definitely agree with that, because last year in NBA, I just like had like this insane winning streak, and I thought I was like the GOAT. But then this year it came back to, it had that regression to the mean like a little bit. So have you had any experiences like that where you're like riding really high and then you kind of came back down to earth?
Yeah, I mean, you're always, as a player, you're always either in a hot streak or a cold streak at a given time. And because it's a daily game, it's easy to like string a bunch of wins or a bunch of losses in a row. So it's also just part of the game. You just have to roll with the ups and downs.
Definitely. So do you have any good advice for like how to deal with a cold streak, or maybe even like how not to deal with a hot streak?
How not to deal with a hot streak?
Yeah, because if you get too like cocky and you like overextend yourself, maybe that's a bad idea, right?
Well, yeah, you just want to always stay within your means and your boundaries, your limits of what you are trying to do. I think it's always sharp if you're on a cold streak, maybe dial back. If you're on a hot streak, not try to double or nothing every night. That's all I can offer.
Double or nothing. So you mean if you like, if your winnings on DraftKings are like 250, then you wager like $5 or 250 the next day.
Well, this is like talk for me when I was just, this would just be a topic that of like for me when I was more starting off, but I think there's a lot of people who are starting off, and if they had that, if they have that one outlier day, there's a lot of people out there who the next day might just put like half of that bankroll right back in. So probably not the sharpest thing to do. You know, I can't believe we're still having the bankroll management talk in India.
Yeah, man. All right, Yoda, I know you got to get back to making your lineup so that you can win it all again today. Hopefully one day you'll win enough that you'll let the rest of us have some of it, you know, like, but...
It's not me, it's you, so...
I wish, man, yeah. So... It's a pleasure having you on the show. Definitely an honor competing against you every single night. And good luck to you in the future, man.
Yeah, best of luck to you, too. And thanks for having me.
No, thanks, man. All right, I'll talk to you later.